We've already seen Moses beseech the Lord for God's people, Israel. And if anything, we learned about the power of prayer. Amen. Think about the power that one person could pray and save the lives of literally millions of people, which is what happened with Moses' first intercessory prayer. Then he went back up on the mountain and again prayed that God would forgive Israel. And then tonight we'll see him beg God again later on in this chapter. So beginning in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man did put on him his ornaments, for the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, You are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. Came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. Came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not up with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. We'll stop there. And our title is Thy Presence. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word. Speak to us from it tonight in a powerful way. And Lord, may our desire for your presence be the same. And so I pray that, Lord, your will be done in our hearts through this time and that you'd be glorified. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. I hope you notice that God again was testing Moses. In verse 1, did you notice what he said? Thou and the people which thou hast brought up. He's done this before, hasn't he? He said to Moses that your people that you brought out of Egypt. God knows who brought them out of Egypt. But he's constantly refining and testing his leader as well. And by the way, Moses didn't take it in verse 13, if you will. He says at the end of the verse, Consider that this nation is thy people. And so again, God says, Go to the promised land. I promised it to you. Let's go. But I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send my angel with you. because of your sin as a nation. They worship the golden calf, as we know. And I'll just send an angel, but I'm not going to go with you. That's what he said there in verse 33. I want you to go to the land of milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Sin has that double effect when it comes to our fellowship with our Lord, doesn't it? It not only takes our desire away from wanting to be with God, but it takes God's desire away from Him wanting to be with us. It has both of those effects. And God is saying, you're stiff-necked, you've been sinful, you've broken my laws already. I don't want to be in your presence. I'll send my angel to be in your presence. We can learn a lot from this, can't we? That our time with God needs to be sweet, it needs to be special and close, but sin always hinders that. He said the same thing if you go to Joshua 7, keep your place here in Exodus. This is, remember, after Jericho, this amazing first victory. They entered the promised land finally after 40 years of wandering. They go in. God gives them Jericho as a gift. He knocks the walls down. Then what happens? They go to the next city and they lose the battle because of Achan's sin. And notice what God says in Joshua 7:12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, this is God speaking, except you destroy the accursed from among you. You lost the battle at Ai because I withdrew my presence. And if I'm not there to help you fight the battles, you're going to lose them. He wanted them to learn. By the way, thousands of people died in that battle. Thousands of Israelites died in that battle. And God says, why did that happen? Because I wasn't with you. Because of the sin in the camp, and the sin has to be removed before I will give you my presence back and my help in fighting these battles. That's what he's saying to Israel here. I want you to go to the promised land because it's yours, and Moses just saved your lives by begging me for your lives and for forgiveness. But I'll just send my angel because you are a stiff-necked people. That's what he said there in verse 3 of our passage. So verse 4, when the people heard these tidings, they mourned, here in Exodus 33. And no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee a moment and consume thee. God is still angry about their sin. And he says, if I come up in the midst of thee, I may just kill you anyway. And so they stripped their ornaments. These were worldly ornaments that they had brought with them from Egypt. And a lot of times, we're not going to be close to God until we strip away our worldly ways, are we? God's trying to teach them. So now Moses takes the tabernacle, which isn't per the pattern yet. This is just a tent at this point. The pattern hasn't even been given in its full form yet. It's a tent, but it's the place where Moses has been meeting God. It's been in the midst of the camp up to this point. Now, Moses, with direction from God, takes it out of the camp, separate from God's people. Why would he do that? Again, he's trying to show them. Sin separates. Sin always separates. Isaiah 59, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And so now the tabernacle's not in the camp anymore. It's without the camp. God makes a point of saying that multiple times here in verse 7, without the camp. And look at Hebrews 13:13. I want to show you an interesting parallel. The Bible says when we come to Jesus, you know what we need to do? We need to go without the camp. Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The camp representing the world, representing worldly Christians. He said, if you really want to get close to Jesus, you're going to have to go without the camp. And so now Moses is still going to meet with God, praise God, but it's going to be outside the camp. Things have changed. And so Moses, as he went into the tabernacle, everybody stood at their tent door. They're humbled. They should be. They just saw many of their people die first of with the sword and then through the plague. So they're humbled. And so whenever Moses went to the tent door, of course, he's outside the camp. They're all watching him. They watch him walk to the tent door. They stand while he does. When he entered the tabernacle, the cloud that was leading them would descend, as we read here, and stand at the door, showing the people that God and Moses were meeting in the tent. Here again, Moses picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Going into the presence of Almighty God on behalf of others, which is what Jesus is doing right now. And it says the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Now they're willing to publicly worship God. It only took the deaths of literally thousands of their people, God's punishment, God's anger, but now they're willing to publicly say, yes, we will worship Jehovah only. And this beautiful truth, verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Look at John 15:14. Jesus made a similar statement to his disciples in the upper room, John 15:14. As I mentioned yesterday, it's always about obedience. Of course, 14:15 was our theme. If you love me, keep my commandments. 15:14 says, you are my friends if, what? You do whatsoever I command you. So you may be a born-again Christian. You may be God's child, but you're not Jesus' friend until you're willing to live a life of obedience. Jesus just said it there, didn't he? You are my friends. There's an if statement there. If you do whatsoever I command you. Moses, as we see here, was a friend of God. He spoke to Moses as if speaking to a friend. Well, you and I, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, have access to the Almighty God that Moses spoke with in that tent. And we can approach God as a friend. But we need to make sure that there's not sin that's hindering that. Amen? We can come into his presence. The Israelites could not. Moses was coming on their behalf because Jesus hadn't died yet. But he's died now. Sin's paid for. We don't need Moses. We can go directly to the throne of God because our Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ, has paved the way with his blood and his sacrifice. And so Moses prayed. God saved their lives. Moses prayed again for their forgiveness. Now he is going to pray and beg God for his presence with God's people. This is a good thing to beg God for, his presence in our lives. So verse 12, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Lord, you just told me you're not going to go with us. So here I am again, praying. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. You tell me you know me by name. You tell me I've found grace in thy sight. So I'm going to be bold here and ask again a big request. And the request is basically twofold. Verse 13, he says, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. So first of all, please show me how to lead these people. Show me the way. But then secondly, consider that this nation is thy people. We should seek God's way every day. Amen. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. God is willing to direct our paths. It's just we're not often willing to acknowledge him. Look at Psalm 25, verse 4. David understood this great truth as well, that we're going to accomplish absolutely nothing without God's presence in our lives. And Moses understood this. He said, Lord, this isn't going to work unless you go with us. We need your presence. I understand you're angry. Please forgive them. Please give us your presence back so we can go to the promised land with your guidance. Notice Psalm 25:4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. David said, Lord, I want to know your way. I want to go your way. And that's what Moses said here. Show me now thy way. Show me, Lord, the way you want me to go. And then look at another one, Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. It's a beautiful truth. So we can say, well, Moses was just really bold in his prayer life. Do you think it's okay to be bold in our prayer lives? Since we actually are born again Christians, bought by the blood of Jesus and are told to come boldly unto the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16. It's okay to come boldly to the throne of grace and beg God for his presence, beg God for his forgiveness, so that we might maintain that sweet fellowship with our Heavenly Father. But Moses wanted God's presence so bad, verse 15, if thy presence go not up with me, carry us not up hence. Lord, if you're not going to go with us, then just don't take us to the promised land. Just leave us here in the desert. But isn't God's answer beautiful? My presence shall go with thee. Amen. Ask and ye shall receive. That was a big ask, wasn't it? God says straight up, I am not going to go with you. Too much sin. I'll just send my angel. Moses said, Lord, if you won't go with us, then just don't even send us. Do we want his presence that bad that we're not willing to go forward without it? Because how much do we try to do in our own strength? David said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. We need to have God's presence if we're going to conquer anything. When we start our day without God, what are we really saying? God, I got this. If I need your help, I'll ask for it. But when we start our day with God, begging God for his guidance, begging God for his presence, that's how it should be. Amen. We need to have this same attitude. Lord, I can't go forward without you. I have to have your presence. I have to have your strength. And that's what Moses is saying. If you're not going to go with us, just don't take us. Because I don't see how it's possible for us to go without you. And we should have that same attitude. If you go to Psalm 51:11, David, when he wrote this beautiful, the most beautiful penitential psalm after his sin with Bathsheba, look what he begged God for here in Psalm 51:11. Cast me not away from thy presence. Lord, please, I've failed you greatly. I recognize this and I repent. Please, whatever you do, don't cast me away from your presence. And we must have that same attitude. Here's the problem, though, with sin. We already saw that it takes God's desire to be away from us, but it can also take our desire away to be with him. What happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve? Every day they would fellowship with God in the garden in the cool of the day. Beautiful. God would come down and spend time with his new creation called man. And after the fall, what happened? God came down to fellowship and they were hiding. What happened to their desire to spend time with God? It was gone. Amen. And this is what happens. If you look in Jonah, we'll see it again. Remember what Jonah did. Jonah chapter 1. I often use that phrase. Oh, he's trying to pull a Jonah. Trying to run away from God. Thinking that there's a place he can go to escape God. How many times do Christians try? Well, I'm going to run away from God. Well, where are you going to go? Like David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. I make my bed in the depths of the sea. Thou art there. Where are you going to go to hide from God? Well, Jonah tried it. Jonah 1:10. Then this is when the boat, when they're casting everything out of the boat. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to him, why hast thou done this? This storm is your fault, in other words. And for the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He didn't tell them right away, but as the storm kept getting worse and they kept casting more and more out of the boat, he finally said, guys, sorry to tell you this, but this is all because of me. Why? Because I'm running from God. He even admitted it that way. He was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. That's what sin does. So it's both directions. With sin, God doesn't want to fellowship with us. And with sin, often we don't want to fellowship with God. But Moses begged, Lord, please, if you won't go with us, then don't send us. And isn't that beautiful what God said? I'll answer this prayer too. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 17, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I hope that that's our desire, that we do our best to find grace in his sight, and that he knows us by name to the point that we are friends. Amen? That we're friends with God. And friendship with God is contingent upon obedience, as we saw. So the distinguishing factor, really, in every aspect of our Christian life should be, is God's presence in our lives? Is God controlling? Is God leading? That's what the Bible said. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. But do we, when sin has come, do we beg God for it? When we don't sense his presence, do we say, Lord, I can't go any further without you. I got to have your presence, please. And I love his answer. God could have said no. You guys have sinned too much. I'm not going to do it. But he said, Moses, because of your prayer, I'll go with you. I will go with Israel. I'm angry with them, but I will go with them. And he did. He led them to the promised land with his cloudy pillar, and then the fiery pillar. He said, I'll stay with you. Why? Because of the prayer of Moses. So that should be our desire, for his presence in our lives. Everywhere we go, every path we take, every decision we make, Lord, I need thy presence. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this truth and this example from Moses' prayer. And I pray that, Lord, we would be not only children of prayer, but, Lord, it would be our desire every day to have your presence as we go forward for thee. And, Lord, may we want it so bad that we don't want to go forward without thee. And I pray, Lord, if sin has hindered that, that we would deal with the sin, that our fellowship with thee might be sweet, and that we know we're walking with you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you so much. In Christ's name.